Your Bibles this morning, and turn with us, if you would, to the book of Leviticus, chapter 13. Leviticus chapter 13 this morning. Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17 this morning. If you were here Wednesday night, we were in the book of Romans, and it was there in the book of Romans we looked at a thought where Paul, to the church at Rome, encouraged them to mortify the deeds which are in your flesh. And I've been thinking much about that phrase. I've been thinking much about just sin in general. And, you know, especially as Christians, we don't really like to give much thought to it because we like to think that after salvation, we don't have to deal with sin anymore and that sin is no longer an issue. Sin is no longer a problem, but even for the Christian, sin can become a problem. Sin can become an issue. We know that for a lost and dying world, sin is the ultimate issue. And our society today has many ways that they try and deal with sin, or how they can do away with sin. Some think that, if I just try and do enough good works, then my sin will somehow magically go away and I'll magically be good enough to go to heaven. Some think that if I turn over a new leaf, that'll be good enough. Some think that if I can just ignore my sin, then it'll just go away. But that's kind of like ignoring anything bad. Just because you ignore it doesn't mean it's going to go away. Eventually, you're going to have to handle it. Eventually, you're going to have to tackle it head on. And I'm guilty of that as much as the next person. You know, a situation comes up and I think, man, okay, I'll just let this, you know, slide. I'll just let this go. I'll just ignore this and eventually it'll go away. But, you know, from experience, I'm here to tell you that usually that's not how it happens, because usually, all right, I'll just go to bed tonight and then tomorrow morning when I wake up, it'll all be gone. Everything will be completely taken care of. And well, that's just not how life works. And that's not how sin works. Some seek to drown their sorrows away. Some seek to drown their sin away, whether it be in alcohol or drugs or some other type of vice or whatever the case may be. And they try all of these worldly methods to try and wash away their sin, when in reality, there's just one way to wash away our sin. And that's what I've been thinking about this week, is that what can wash away our sin? You're there, Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17. And notice, if you would, there, verse number 11. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse number 11. The Bible says this: "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." You notice that phrase there at the beginning of verse number 11. The Bible says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." For a few moments this morning, that's the thought that I want us to focus in on, is that life is through the blood. Life is through the blood. And what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you again for this day. And Father, we do thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and gather in your house on a Sunday morning to sing your praises and open your word to see a truth that might help us be the church and the Christian that have us to be. And Lord, this morning we thank you for your shed blood on the cross of Calvary. And Lord, we thank you for just the sacrifice that it took to pay for our sins. Lord, we pray this morning that you would help us to never get over what it took to save us and pay for our sins. Lord, help us to never get over the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, Lord, as we gather here this morning, I pray the message of this morning will be a help, a challenge, an encouragement to these your people. And Lord, if there be one here this morning that know not Christ as their Savior, we pray that they would not leave this place without getting it settled 100% sure that Christ is their Savior, that heaven is their home. Lord, now help me to say those things which need to be said, and help me to refrain from those things that need not be said. And Lord, for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory. And we'll love you and thank you for it. For us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so we see there again, verse number 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. You know, we think this morning about that verse in Romans that we looked at Wednesday night. Mortify the deeds that are in your flesh. In other words, put to death the sins in your life. And as we think about sin and we think about what it ultimately cost our Savior's sin, really when we think about it, it was shown in all of its hideousness on the cross of Calvary. When our Savior, the sinless Son of God, went to that cross where he would be mocked, he would be beaten, he would suffer, he would bleed, he would die, he would be put to a... Really, as we stop and we think about it and we read the scriptures, he would be put to a criminal's death. I mean, you stop and you think about this. The one who knew no sin, the one who was as far away from being a criminal as you could get, and here he was put to death, a criminal's death, not for anything he had done, but he was put to death for your sins and my sins. And we sometimes say, well, what was the significance in all of that? Why did he have to be put to death? Well, again, we see the answer here in this verse, verse number 11. Of course, we go back. You're there, Leviticus chapter 17. Go back, if you would, verse number 1. And we see this is the command to bring offerings to the tabernacle. Leviticus chapter 17, verse number 1. The Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, saying, what man soever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox or lamb or goat in the camp, or that killeth it out of the camp, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer an offering unto the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood shall be imputed unto that man. He hath shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people. Now, you see there in verse number 4, the last part of verse number 4, the Bible there says, blood shall be imputed unto that man. That word imputed is a very important word. That is what happens when you and I get saved. That is what happens when you and I trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Because now the Lord Jesus Christ, when we accept Him as our Savior, He takes and He imputes upon us His righteousness. And when He looks at us, it's just as if we had never sinned. Even though we did sin, and even though we are still sinners, we now have the imputed righteousness of God upon us. Verse number 5. To the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto the Lord, under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, under the priests, and offer them for peace offerings unto the Lord. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and burn the fat for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. And thou shalt say unto them, whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers which sojourn among you, that offereth a burnt offering or sacrifice, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer it unto the Lord, even that man shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourneth among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And so again, we see here that even dating back here to the Old Testament, that in order for somebody to be saved, there had to be the shedding of blood. Go, if you would, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 this morning. Romans chapter 5, and notice here, if you would, verse number 11. Let's begin there, verse number 10. Romans chapter 5, you know what, let's begin there, verse number 8. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, but God commendeth His love toward us. That means He proved His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now, notice what it says, justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And here's the key, verse number 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And so we see here that it's through the blood, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, that not only did God prove His love for us on Calvary, but now we are no longer enemies, but now we're reconciled to Him. And not only are we reconciled to Him, verse number 11, but we also joy in God. Now, because we have been saved, now that our sins have been forgiven, now we have a spiritual joy because of that atonement that was not present before. You know, again, we have a lost and dying world out there that, and whether they realize it or not, they are searching for something. They are searching for an answer. They are searching for something that can fill the emptiness that is within, because we know as a people, we were created in the very image of God. And because of our sin, we are now separated from God. And now when we are separated, we realize there is something missing. And the only thing that can fulfill what is missing is God. The only thing that can fulfill what is missing is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we get saved, when we have our sins forgiven, we get that spiritual joy. I mean, we could probably go around the room this morning and recount a time when we went back and we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and the burden we felt lifted, the joy we felt, the happiness we felt, knowing that, okay, now that one day when I finally do pass away, one day when I finally do die, I'm going to go to heaven with the Lord for all of eternity. And that's something we didn't have before. And that's all made possible because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, if you would, Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 this morning. Hebrews chapter 9. And notice there, if you would, beginning of verse number 19. Hebrews chapter number 9, beginning at verse number 19. Now, this is the foreshadowing of the New Testament that was found back in the Old Testament. I'm sorry, the foreshadowing of the Old Covenant, or the New Covenant that was foretold back in the Old Testament. But verse number 19, the Bible says, "For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, 'This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you.' Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood." And here's the key. "And without shedding of blood is no remission." You see, if Christ had not shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, there could have been no remission of sin. There could have been no forgiveness of sin. And that's why it's very important to get our terms right. It's very important for us to understand why certain terms are important. Go ahead and take your hymn book there. Take your hymn book, and I want to show you just one example this morning. And there are many examples like this, and that's why it's important to remember that there's only one inspired book, and that's the Bible. The hymn book is not inspired, and we have to remember that and realize that. But look, if you would, there, number 208. 208. It's a great hymn, wonderful hymn. Number 208, "Grace Greater Than Our Sin." And notice the first verse. "Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was." And what's that word there? Spilt. Well, see, that's not a biblical term. That's not a biblical word. That's almost implying that, well, it was an accident what he did with his blood. You know, you spill a cup of milk. You spill a cup of water. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, it was no accident. When he went to the blood, he did not, or when he went to the cross, he did not spill his blood. He shed his blood. And so in my hymn book up here that I use at the pulpit, we actually have it crossed out to where we sing it, "There where the blood of the Lamb was shed." And so it's very important that we get terms right and terminology right. To say that he spilled his blood is to imply that it was an accident. It wasn't an accident. He made a very deliberate choice to go to the cross. And without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission. But notice, go on, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23. "It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these." You say, what was those better sacrifice? Or what was that better sacrifice? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. No more would there have to be calves and goats. No longer would they have to have their blood shed, because when the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood, it was a once for all sacrifice. He was crucified once for all. Verse number 24, "For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others." You remember what the Old Testament said, that every year the high priest would have to go in. He would have to go into the Holy of Holies, and the high priest would have, for lack of a better term, he would have bells attached to him as he went in to make the sacrifice. And as long as the people heard the bells, they knew that he was still alive. But if those bells stopped, they knew that they had to pull the priest out, because he had died, because he was entering into the very presence of God himself. But now, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, and when Christ shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, the Bible says he is the perfect sacrifice, the once for all sacrifice. Verse number 26, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Where the high priest had to do it over and over and over again. And that's to teach us that the sacrifices of the law, they were insufficient. But the Lord Jesus Christ, his sacrifice was sufficient. There's only ever been one man's blood that can cleanse our souls from sin. And that's the Son of God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, there's a world that is looking for the answer to what can wash away their sin. Well, this morning, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have the answer. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his shed blood on the cross of Calvary. And this morning, may we never get over the fact of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary. I think on Wednesday night, because there's a lot of things that we have through the blood of the Lamb. There's a lot of things that we have through his precious blood. We have redemption through his blood. We have propitiation through his blood. We have justification through his blood. We have forgiveness through his blood. We have peace through his blood. We have cleansing from sin through his blood. We're able to draw near to God through his blood. We have sanctification through his blood. We have eternal life through his blood. But then, best of all, look if you would, Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Because yes, it's great this morning to have redemption. It's great to have propitiation. It's great to have justification and forgiveness and peace and cleansing from sin and nearness to God and sanctification and eternal life. But we have one final thing through His blood this morning. Look there, if you would, Revelation chapter 12. And notice there, if you would, verse number 7. Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." By the way, he still deceives the whole world today. He still wants to do nothing more than to deceive you and lead you astray. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Not only this morning does he deceive the world, but he's the accuser of the brethren. He wants to accuse you. You know what? Here's the best thing. One day we're going to stand before God, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, and Satan's going to look at you. He's going to look at God and he's going to say, "Hey, don't you remember what so-and-so did?" And the God of heaven, who knows everything, he's going to look that serpent in the eye and he's going to say, "Nope, I don't remember it any longer." Why? Because your sins have been put under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sins have been forgiven. And listen, every now and again, Satan, he's going to bring things to mind. He's going to bring things to your remembrance. He's going to try and get you to think, "Hey, if you were really a Christian, would you have done that? If you were really a Christian, would you have said that? If you were really a Christian, would you have gone there? Or are you really going?" He's going to do his best to make you doubt your salvation, because he is the accuser of the brethren. But when he tries, there's an old song, when he reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Because he has no future. He has no victory. He has nothing to look forward to, but you and I do. Notice verse number 11. And here it is, verse number 11. "And they overcame him." Overcame who? The devil, the accuser, the one who is the deceiver, the father of lies, a murderer from the beginning. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth," and here it is, "he knoweth that he hath but a short time." You see, folks, Satan, his time is limited. He has but a little time left. Go down, chapter 13. And I've been working on something from chapter 13, perhaps for next week. But notice there, chapter 13. And this is exactly how long Satan's going to have left. Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 5. The Bible says, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. 42 months. Satan is going to have a very limited window. Now, if you do your math, that 42 months, that equals out to 3.5 years. That's the second 3.5 years of the tribulation. The first 3.5 years, it's going to be characterized by peace. Because notice what it says there. Verse number 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And so that first 3.5 years of the tribulation is going to be characterized by peace. But then, you notice there, I believe it's in Hebrews, the Bible talks about him who letteth will let. And that's talking about when the Holy Spirit removes himself from this earth. And that's going to happen after that first 3.5 years. And then there's going to be all hell breaks loose on earth. But it's only going to be for that 42 months. Satan has a very limited time. And so for all of the things you and I as Christians we have through that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest thing that we can possibly think of is that one day we're going to have final victory over Satan. One day we're going to have final victory over sin. One day we're going to have final victory over this world. One day there's not going to be a devil to deceive. One day there's not going to be a devil to accuse. One day there's not going to be a devil to gain victory. And listen, if we're honest with ourselves, there are times in our Christian life that even if it's just a momentary victory, there are times the devil gets victory over us because we still do battle with that old man and the old flesh. And that's why in Romans, the Bible says, mortify the deeds, kill them, have nothing to do with them. But one day, we're going to have that final victory over sin and Satan and the world and all of the rest. And it's all because of that shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, where would we be had it not been for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? The one who knew no sin, the one who was a sinless sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice. He came and he shed his blood for you and for me. May we never forget what he did for us. May we never let it grow old or stagnant or stale or old. And may we always thank the Lord for his shed blood that will bring victory someday. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together to our feet.